nation is no longer useful to God. Watch out. Let's talk about it on Keylock.
That sounds interesting. If you are wondering, that was Steve Brown and I'm Mike Kellogg. The program is Key Life. Relevant Bible principles without stuffiness and nonsense. Now here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to 1st and 2nd Chronicles. That's how far we are in our Old Testament survey. And we're looking at a number of exegetical notes, stuff about main themes in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We've looked at a minimalist outline of these two books. We've seen that both of these books were the same in the Hebrew Bible, but because Greek takes so much room, it was divided into two books. We have seen that Kings is written when God's people are on top of the world, and Chronicles is written when the world has just rolled over on top of them, and thus some of the differences. We've seen yesterday the two main themes in these two books, the Davidic line, which how important that is in terms of the coming Messiah, the house and lineage of David. Then we saw that this is a nation that is a theocracy. One of the most dangerous things we do is that we apply the rules and the principles and the laws of a theocracy to a nation that is not a theocracy. There's a movement, and you don't need to know that much about it. It's called theonomy. It comes from the idea of the law of God and its people who are often deconstructionists, and it means that they'll take the law of God and they will apply to our nation, and we will thereby bring in the kingdom. I would say it ain't going to work. So deal with it. It's just not going to work. I'm against all utopianism, whether it's biblical utopianism or communist utopianism. It's just not going to happen that way. Now, there is a theocracy. The only one we know that is absolutely true in terms of ultimate reality is the nation of Israel. And so this book deals with that particular theocracy. You find the temple, the center, the ritual so important to it, because God is the ruler of that nation. Now, I want to go to another note before I become a tour director and take you to various and sundry places in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I want you to note as you read through these books of Chronicles that there is no mention of the northern kingdom of Israel except when it is absolutely necessary to the understanding of what God is doing with the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, the northern kingdom, Israel, those are the 10 tribes, not 10 lost tribes, the 10 tribes which rebelled when Rehoboam was the king, and when he was trying to give the wrong kind of tribute. 722 B.C., the king of Assyria destroyed Samaria, mixed the peoples with other peoples, and in that sense, the tribes are lost. Now, you remember in John 4 where Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria. She turns out to be a woman of the streets, and he tells her all about herself, and he talks to her, and the disciples are shocked. Well, they're shocked because Jesus was talking to a woman, but the thing that made it so very bad is that he was talking to a Samaritan. That's the northern kingdom. They were a mixed people. They were not pure the way Israel was, and no self-respecting Jew was going to have any traffic whatsoever with anybody in the northern kingdom. Now, I want to suggest something to you that you got to watch. There are a lot of people who have some very weird theories about the 10 lost tribes. They find words that are the same in England, and the Anglo-Saxons then become in the lost tribes, and then America becomes a part of the lost tribes, and so the nations of Israel, when the promises are given to the entire people of God, they apply to us because we're really Jewish. We're just a part of the 10 lost tribes. Now, that's intriguing, and it's fun to read about. It's just not true. So don't go down that road too far. Now, I want you to note that there's no mention of the northern kingdom, and I'm going to tell you why. Because God was through with the northern kingdom. His purpose through them had been served, and that was it. H.G. Wells says there have been 21 civilizations on the face of the earth. Of the 21, 17 have passed from the face of the earth. Do you know why? Because God didn't have any use for them anymore. Now, let me say something about our country, and I'm talking about you Canadians, too. We have a nation where we talk about we are such a godly nation, and we're such a moral nation. Well, I don't know about that. When Billy Graham said that if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, there's some truth to that, and there's some pretty scary truth about that. I quoted 1 Chronicles 7:14 to you yesterday, and I said that's not appropriate to apply to a nation that is not a theocracy, but it is an appropriate reference to God and God's people within any nation, and it says this, if my people, now that's not Hugh Hefner. If my people, I want you to know, those are not the left-leaning Marxists who don't believe in God. If my people, and those aren't the people who blaspheme and who make fun of Christian things, the reference is to you, and the reference is to me. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I don't know if that's an absolute promise to be applied in an absolute way to you guys in Canada and us in the United States, but I believe that it does make reference to God that a nation is blessed by the people of God when the people of God humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. I believe that if at any time the Northern Kingdom had turned from their ways and sought the ways of the Lord, there would still be a Northern Kingdom. There wouldn't be all this nonsense about the 10 lost tribes. Now, in a lesser sense, I believe that's true of our nations, too. Do you remember the Poseidon Adventure? I met Al Kotcha one time and had dinner with him, and he wrote the music for that movie. Won an Academy Award for it, and he is a dynamite Christian, and I enjoyed that short time with him more than I can say. But if you remember in Poseidon Adventure, and that was done just before the Noahic flood, years and years ago, it was about, there was a priest who made it to the end of the journey. And the last thing he did was shake his defiant fist at God, and then he fell into the flames. Well, that's what happens to nations. If a nation is no longer useful to God, a part of God's economy, God doesn't work hard to make them different. He doesn't try to make them repent, but this isn't a theocracy. He just says, shoo, and they're gone from the face of the earth. Okay, let me show you another exegetical thing. In 1 Chronicles 9:1, and these are written in the book of the kings of Israel, and in 2 Chronicles 27:7, now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Let me tell you something interesting about that. There is no book of the kings of Israel and Judah. I mean, that's a reference to a book that is no longer extant. That's a reference to a book that doesn't exist anymore. Now, I don't want to make too much out of this, but I want, in passing, to say something that's really important. The formulation of Scripture is no less than miraculous. The Bible is given by God and accepted by the church, both Old Testament and New Testament church, by 300 B.C., the Old Testament, 4th century, they were accepted in the New Testament, and that canon is closed. The Bible that you have is the Bible that God wanted you to have. Canon means measurement, and it means that the books that you have are the books that you're supposed to have. Now, were there other books? Yeah, there really were. There were some extra letters to the church at Corinth from the Apostle Paul. There was the Gospel of Thomas, kind of spurious and kind of weird. There was, in reference here in 1 Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles 27:7, reference to a book that is no longer there. God, over a period of time, eliminated the books that he didn't want in the canon, and the canon is now closed. God gave the canon, but he did more than that. He preserved it. Let me tell you, if I have enough time, just a great story. In 1947, a little Bedouin boy threw a rock in a cave up around the Dead Sea. And instead of hearing a thud, he heard the shattering of clay or glass. And that was the beginning of the greatest manuscript find of our time. In A.D. 68, the Romans were coming up the Rift Valley, stretching from Africa right up to the Dead Sea in Palestine. And they looked, and there was a monastic community, and they looked and they saw the Romans coming, and they thought, we're toast. What do we got to do? And the most important thing they had was their library. Now, this monastic Essene community took all of the books they had, they put them in jars, and they put them in caves all around the Dead Sea. And not only that, when they didn't have any more jars and the Romans were getting closer, they just threw the manuscripts in these caves. And this Bedouin boy found them in 1947. And the manuscripts there predated any extant manuscript that we had by almost 1,000 years. And the liberals said, good. Now we're going to see all the changes that have taken place in the scripture, the mistakes that were made, the problems that we have. But when they checked, there weren't any. There was no significant difference over 1,000 years. I don't know what that says to you, but I'll tell you what it says to me. It says that God not only gave us the canon, eliminated the books he wanted eliminated, included the books he wanted to include, he preserved it. So you have essentially in your hands the Bible that God wants you to have. And want you to study, want you to apply. I don't know how that makes you feel. Makes me feel better. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Faith family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or drop us a note, Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. For Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38583. Or you can email us with your regular address to steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. And thereafter, you'll start receiving a tape every few weeks, absolutely free. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of my teaching at Reformed Theological Seminary in the chapel. That's the seminary where I teach, or at the Billy Graham Training Center, or at the Cove, or at the Lake Barkley Fellowship. And we take those and send them out to our team. If you'd like to be a part of this, just let us know. And they're free. Read my lips, those of you in our television audience. When I say they're free, they're absolutely free. But that doesn't mean that I'll turn down my contribution. This is a very expensive ministry. I want you to know we work hard to be faithful with the funds that you give us. So if you can help us, pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. And for any gift of any size, I'll send you as my thank you, the cassette teaching, A Word for the Discouraged. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.